Good morning, and welcome to Netia's Q2 2010 results conference call. Hosting today's call will be Mr. Miroslav Gorlevski, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. John Eastick, Chief Financial Officer. Following management's formal comments, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. Mr. Gorlevski, you may now begin.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our quarterly conference call. I'm happy to say that this is another quarter of solid growth. We deliver what we've said we would deliver. Jonathan Eastick, who is here with me, will be sharing most of the details with you. Let me just set the scene and refer to some of the top-line perspective. So as I said, the revenue grew through second quarter and the first half of the year. Along with the subscriber base, we have significantly improved on the market share in that respect. We also improved our EBITDA, both in terms of absolute numbers and margin. It's another quarter and full half of the year of net profitability and free cash flow, positive free cash flow. So, as I said, a very solid set of results and another quarter of growth. It will be very important for us from the profitability perspective to continue what we've already done very well in the second quarter, especially on LAU, both rollout of the network as well as transferring customers from regulated access of wholesale line rental and bitstream access into LAU. We are happy enough to announce that by now, by June 30th, we've had 73,000 customers, and we keep growing as we renewed our effort of converting customers from WLR and BSA into LAU in toward the end of the second quarter. We are also thinking very strongly about our next competitive benefits, and we are increasing our competitiveness by this important to us project of client Omania, which proceeds very smoothly, and I'm very convinced that the satisfaction coming of customers coming out from this project will improve further retention and advocacy, and will be another reason for customers to choose Netia over other operators. We've also got ready for major acquisitions, should such opportunities come to the market in the balance of the year. Financing is obviously one reason of being ready, but another one is the solid set of results and the fact that we are very stably progressing now on operational front. This also sets my feelings towards making an acquisition effort very very competing, very smooth to do. And I'm happy to say that today we are also confirming our full year 2010 guidance, as we are confident that the second half of the year will also be along our expectations. Throughout this conference call, we'll be referring, as always, to a presentation which has been posted this night on our website. So please take a look at it, as Jonathan Eastick, our CFO, will be walking you through the results. Jonathan?
Thank you, Mirek. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to walk you through these results and through this presentation this morning. I'm going to start from slide 3 in the presentation, which deals with our performance on broadband subscribers. We finished the second quarter, 30th of June, with 624,000 broadband customers. That's up 36% on a year earlier and 3.5% on the end of Q1. This gives us a market share improvement from about 8.5% a year ago to at least 10.7%, which is our current estimate for the position at the end of June. Important, obviously, there was a slowdown in net additions compared to Q1 of this year. That's because we, in the middle of Q1, we moved on to a much less aggressive discount positioning vis-a-vis the campaign we've been running in Q4 and then through January, the beginning of February. So that fed through into lower net additions in Q2, as we'd expected. However, it's important to note that we still grew 15% faster than we did in Q2 of a year earlier, and we're very confident that the growth will accelerate again given the campaigns that we have planned for the second half of the year. It's also important to note really strong progress on LLU during the second quarter. We got the migration process on both single and double play up and running again after the hiatus we had in Q1. So we moved on from 60,000 in March to 73,000 active LLU customers. We have over 80,000 as of today, so the pace is accelerating. We're still confident we'll get well over 100,000 by the end of this year. And this is very important from a margin perspective because our base, when you take the customers connected over our own network, together with LLU customers, which are all higher margin than the Bitstream wholesale broadband customers, this is now getting very close to 50% of the base. So this is feeding through into our margins, as you'll see later. ARPU in the first half of this year has been a little bit softer than we'd seen through 2009. This reflects the aggressive promotion that we were running that I mentioned earlier in Q4 and Q1. But it also reflects the discount we offer customers to move to a double play service, which has been extremely successful. And obviously double play customers are much more profitable for us than single play. So although it's putting some pressure on the ARPU, you'll see as we go forward that the margins are responding very well. Moving on to slide 4 on the situation with our voice customer base, we continue to make steady progress. We finished the quarter with 1,182,000 voice subscribers, 1% higher than in Q1, 5% higher than a year ago. Because the market as a whole is shrinking, we're actually doing very well on market share. We're now up to over 12%. In terms of market share. The ARPU on voice is somewhat mixed. On the business segment, because of the general economic situation, there is a lot of pressure on ARPUs. So we see on our own network, for example, that ARPUs dropped from 64 to 58 zloty over the last 12 months. However, the pressure is much less on the residential side. So WLR ARPU has held up pretty well, and as a result, blended ARPU is down only roughly 5%, 55 zloty down to 53 over the last 12 months. So as a result, voice revenue over with a 12-month view is actually stable, even slightly rising. The next slide, slide 5, gives you a little bit of an insight into our current positioning in terms of price and the overall value proposition on broadband. On the top of the slide, you can see the relative performance of Netia and Telekomunikacja Polska and its mobile brand Orange when it comes to sales of ADSL-based broadband. And you can see that Netia has, in terms of net additions, been consistently outperforming the TPSA group over the last, I think it's 5 quarters shown here on the chart. We did, as I mentioned, we did reduce the discount advantage that we had towards the end of the first quarter, and that fed through into lower sales and lower net adds in the second quarter. But that price positioning is as follows. We're about 10% cheaper than TPSA at speeds of 1 and 2 megabits, but we are actually around 6% more expensive than their brand, than their mobile operator Orange on exactly the same services. And despite that price positioning, you can see that we've done much better than both TP and Orange during the second quarter. Why are we achieving this? Well, we're executing extremely well on the advertising side. We're not spending a lot of money. We spend 4% of our revenue on advertising annually. But the message is really cut through very well, and you can see on the bottom left-hand slide there the results of the regular survey that we do. I think it's bi-monthly, where we look at how well the consumers are responding to the advertising, and it shows that our advertising awareness is really outperforming the competition. In terms of brand awareness and top of mind when it comes to availability of fixed broadband services, we're very close to TPSA. And it's interesting that the mobile operators are really struggling to be recognized as providers of fixed broadband. Obviously, they have mobile broadband services that the customers recognize, but it doesn't cut through at the moment that they can offer a fixed broadband service, which is very good for Netia. Obviously, this is backed up with our positioning as providing a choice to TPSA and the former monopoly, and also by better quality recognition than some of our competitors. Moving on to slide six. A few comments on the big project for this year, Clientomania. Last year, the big project was the cost reduction project, Project Profit. This year, we're having a similar, similarly ambitious project, but on the area of the customer experience and improving fundamentally the customer experience at all the major touch points in the relationship with the customer. That means activation, it means ongoing relationship with Netia, and then also the retention process to get to convince customers to sign up with us for further contracts. And as you can see from the chart, we've had help from a consultancy firm in defining 12 key initiatives. And behind those initiatives, there are 80 concrete projects or tasks. And you can see in the pie chart the involvement of the different departments of the company within the project. So it's really a cross-company project. A lot of the projects will be finished this year, but some of them will run into next year mainly because of IT-related requirements that take time to implement. So this is a project we're very excited about. We think it will bring fundamental improvements in the customer experience, give us another competitive advantage versus the competition. And also importantly, from my perspective, it should be self-funding. Such a reputation for quality results in more recommendations, therefore easier sales. It improves the retention rate, reduces churn, and it also reduces the cost of customer care because there are less issues to be resolved, less calls coming in, etc., etc. So we expect the project to be self-funding. The next slide actually gives a good example of what we're talking about. We've just launched this, I think it was this Monday, a new offer, Mobile Internet to Start, and this is a project which has its genesis in the Clientomania initiative. We're offering customers mobile internet when they sign up for fixed broadband, and they get immediate delivery of their mobile internet, so while they're waiting for activation, they can enjoy mobile internet service at home. It's a try-and-buy solution, so if they have no need for the mobile internet, they can give it back after 30 days, or they can keep it at very attractive prices, which obviously supports our margins and ARPUs. And this came directly out of the research we did, which obviously shows that particularly when we activate customers over the TP network, there is a 3 to 4 week wait, typically, to get activated. And in the case of a customer that doesn't have a current connection, then providing them broadband is obviously a value-added solution. So we have high hopes for this offer, which will be probably our flagship offer over the next few weeks. So moving on to the financial results on slide 8, we have revenue of $393.7 million for Q2. That's 5.4% up on a year ago and 2% up quarter on quarter from Q1. For the half year as a whole, we're up about 4% on revenue compared to last year. Important from my perspective, gross margin showed progress in the second quarter. We moved up from 32.8% to 33.4% gross margin. What's behind that? It's our strategy of increasing the share of customers on LLU, reducing the share on Bitstream. It's obviously reflecting the cost-saving initiatives that have come through over the last few months. And it's also reflecting the increase in double play customers in our base. We have less lines to serve relative to the number of services, so that feeds through directly into the costs. Further down the P&L, you'll see on some of the later slides, we've done extremely well on sales and distribution cost reductions and also G&A cost reductions. So our adjusted EBITDA moved on to $95.4 million in Q2. That's up to the 24.2% margin level. Our guidance for this year is at 24%, so we're absolutely now on track. We're also 29% higher EBITDA than we were for Q2 a year earlier. Moving further down at EBIT level, 5.2% EBIT margin, 20.5 million zloty. The net profit came in at 15.6 million zloty for the quarter. Moving on to slide 9, our revenue development by service, moving pretty stably quarter on quarter. Wholesale revenues up in the carrier segment, as you'll see in a minute, partly supporting the revenue growth quarter on quarter. But all segments, all retail segments of revenue moving very steadily. Moving over the page, we then start going through the results by customer segment. As you'll recall, we have four operating segments. Residential business is still doing extremely well. We had $206 million of revenue in the second quarter, and our EBITDA margin moved on to 18.3%. That compares very well, 5.5 percentage points up on a year ago when we were at 12.8%. That's cost savings, that's volume, that's double plays, and that's the impact of LLU on the base. You can see the number of double play customers has moved on in that time from 17% to 26% of the base on the bottom left-hand side of the chart. If you look at operating free cash flow, looking at the capex allocated to the segment, we generated over 15 million zloty of free cash flow in Q2 from this segment. The revenue growth, or the revenue is relatively flat in residential over the last couple of quarters because of the lower EBIT, or rather lower ARPU, on broadband and also slower sales on voice. But we do expect this to move back into faster growth during the second half of the year as the increased net additions on both voice and broadband that we have in our guidance come through. Moving on to Soho SME on slide 11. This segment is starting to perform extremely well. We made some management changes about 6 months ago. The number of new services sold is accelerating. We grew 5.7% in Q3 over Q2. As a result, revenue growth is returning, 46 million in Q2 versus 44 million zloty of revenue in Q1. These customers obviously have much higher ARPUs than the home segment. There's less advertising spending and many more double play. 41% of the customers are double play. So as a result, EBITDA margins at 34%. and pretty stable above 30% quarter to quarter, and free cash flow generation at about 11 million for this segment in the quarter. Corporate, over the page on slide 12, is holding its own in a pretty tough economic environment. The economy, by Polish standards, continues to be slow, and that does affect the corporate business. As I mentioned earlier, voice ARPUs are under pressure. There's also less data or large-scale attractive data projects about as customers curtail their investment projects. Which, as you can see on the CapEx, feeds through into much lower CapEx spending on access network projects. We had only 13 million of CapEx in the corporate segment versus 19 million in Q2 a year earlier. So as a result, revenue is down about 3.5% on a year earlier, but we think that is a pretty reasonable performance in the economic climate that we face. Moving on to the carrier segment on slide 13, an increase in revenue to 56 million in Q2, a big jump in wholesale revenues behind that, as you see on the chart below. One thing that's pleasing to point out is the performance of the P4 contract. We booked 9 million of revenue in Q2. Which is down from the peak of 14 million in Q2 of 2009. However, that was before we sold two-thirds of the transmission project back to P4, and the revenue is only down by one-third in that time. Why is that? Because we'll continue to provide P4 core backhaul services using our backbone network, and they continue to grow very strongly. So. This contract is still very profitable for Netia. Moving on to slide 14, another very good performance on operating expenses. Obviously, we've just gone through a major cost reduction with Project Profit, and the danger with these types of projects is always that costs can start to creep back in if one is not alert. That's not happening in this case. Our headcount is only up seven people versus the cuts of over 230 implemented over the last 12 months. And even that headcount increase was actually covered by an intake of nine new graduates who are management trainees who we have high hopes for the company over the years to come. On the cost side, you can see a 5% reduction in sales and administration costs to revenue versus Q2 of a year earlier. So this is obviously a major component in our EBITDA improvement over the last 12 months. Moving on to capital investment on slide 15 and also operating cash flow. Capital investment in the second quarter recovered versus a very slow Q1 when the weather conditions were very bad in Poland. We had 81 million zloty of capital investment for the first half of the year as a whole. It's 33% lower than the year before, but broadband spending is still very strong behind our LLU rollout, and also we will spend a lot of money on expansion of capacity over the next few months. On the other hand, we've implemented very strong CapEx controls on our legacy network, and as I've also mentioned, the corporate segment is not spending as much on data access projects as it had last year. Also, P4 project doesn't require the CapEx that it did while we still own the transmission backhaul. So as a result, revenue CapEx is down by 33%. For the half year as a whole. In terms of operating free cash flow, we've generated now over 150 million zloty over the last four quarters. The fluctuation you see in the operating free cash flow comes from the seasonality in the CapEx performance. But the cash generation for the company is really very encouraging. Slide 16 just walks you through the P&L below the adjusted EBITDA level. really not much to report on adjustments to EBITDA. You'll recall that we booked a $3 million profit from disposal of the second tranche of the P4 transmission equipment back in Q1. There'll be another gain to book during Q3 when we sell the we sold the final tranche of this equipment on the 1st of July this year. Depreciation and amortization is very nearly flat year on year, just up 1%. So our EBIT has swung from an $8 million loss in the first half of last year to a $40 million profit for the first half this year. Financial expenses have also improved significantly. We are much less exposed to foreign exchange than we were a year ago. So even though Q2 was pretty weak for the zloty, we've had a very good performance on financial expense. Income tax, the effective income tax rate is a bit higher in Q2 than it was in Q1. This is because accounting for the revenue on broadband promotions accelerates revenue recognition from an accounting perspective. From a tax perspective, that creates a deferred tax liability. So recognizing that pushed up the effective tax rate a little bit in Q2, but I don't expect that to be continuing. So overall, we finished the first half of the year with 30 million zloty of net profit. And then the final set of comments from me regard the situation with financing. We've done a lot of hard work during the second quarter. On the 29th of July, this work culminated in signing a mandate with Rabobank, Raiffeisen Bank, and Brea Bank for a club financing. That financing will be finalized if there is an acquisition process for one of our potential targets. Obviously, the ones that have been mentioned that are most interesting for us being Exetel and Dialog. We did, at the same time, cancel the old facility, which was provided by largely the same group of banks, as that's no longer fit for the purpose that we need. But obviously those limits will be put to work on the new deal. When it comes to potential for dividends, our short-term objective is to build up enough of a cash pile to support any potential acquisition opportunity that comes along. But obviously that isn't a limitless requirement, and it starts to look as though we'll have a surplus of cash for next year, and we're starting now to discuss with the supervisory board how we may go about distributing that money back to our shareholders. So with those comments, I'd like to pass back to Mirek just to quickly summarise, and then we'll be able to take questions.
Thank you, Jonathan. As you see, ladies and gentlemen, the broadband strategy we put in place 3 years ago is now fully generating profitability and free cash flow. Going forward, further focus on double play sales and LLU is crucial for further improvements in those parameters, and we are doing very well in that respect. Also, project profit, which Jonathan has already mentioned, and Tele2 synergies are being well sustained and are feeding through to our results. With concluded talks with the banks, we are now very well equipped for any major acquisitions, and I'm really hoping for this to happen in the near future. And as I said in an opening, we are maintaining our full year guidance for 2010, which is primarily talking about 700,000 broadband subscribers, plus any Ethernet acquisitions we might have on top. Our adjusted EBITDA should reach over 355 million zlotys, which should give us 23% margin. John mentioned today that in the second quarter we've hit even higher number, 24%, but we are maintaining 23% margin for the full year as a guidance. We also expect, as earlier indicated, to have free cash flow of around 140 million for a full year before any acquisitions of Ethernet networks in particular. And also the strong focus on client demand will be on our mind going forward, which I'm hoping for, again, to have a positive effect on advocacy, which should then feed into easier acquisition of new customers, as well as better retention of current customer base, which obviously grew very significantly from compared to previous years. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention, and we will be very happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and you wish to withdraw your question, please press 7 again, and you will be advised of when to ask your question. Okay, your first question comes from Jan Pravada from Sanin Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Congratulations to the good results. I have two questions. One about slide 16. I would like to basically create a simplified bridge chart of your EBITDA contribution. But you don't have it there, so let's just talk about it. Your EBITDA has moved from in the first half of 2009 from 145. Sorry, your revenue moved from 145 to 186, and the EBITDA moved from 139 to 188. So both roughly increased by 40 million. And you mentioned that the new customers have roughly 50% margin. So out of the 40 increase in the revenue, I gather that it should have, you know, 20 million contribution to the EBITDA. So I assigned the 20 million to the new LLU customers. And my question then is, what else has contributed to the 40 million roughly EBITDA?
Yeah, and if I could just slightly cut you off, the adjusted EBITDA, that first line on slide 16 is adjusted EBITDA, it's not revenue.
Right, sorry. So that's not right, that's a mistake. Okay. So could you please just then say what is the contribution of the various, you know, activities to the EBITDA growth, basically painting a, you know, simplified bridge chart, like the LLU customers, how much they have contributed, the cost cutting, how much they have contributed, etc.
Sure. I can't give you obviously firm numbers because I don't have such a chart, but if you look at our generic presentation that is also on the website, there is a chart that shows exactly the type of EBITDA bridge you're looking for, comparing the way the company was at the end of 2008 through to the guidance that we have for this year. Which overall is around about a 10% increase in EBITDA margin to explain. So the key components of the increase are obviously additional volume, that swing towards LLU within the broadband customer mix, and the increase in the number of double play customers, which reduces the cost per service considerably. Plus the cost reductions and the synergies. Most of those cost reductions and synergies were done during the middle of the from Q2 through Q4 of last year. So we're seeing the benefit of those in the EBITDA result that you saw for Q2.
And they were sort of 50-50 or more towards the LLU new customers, etc.
No, I would say it's more the cost reduction. The negative element, okay, which eats some of these improvements is the ARPU declines, which has been mainly on the voice side, which is a very steady process. The last few months has also seen a lower broadband ARPU, but we don't expect that to continue dropping significantly.
Okay. Thank you. And the second question, more simple, about international acquisitions outside Poland.
Within current strategy, we are not considering international expansion. We think there is still plenty of opportunities for growth and margin improvement within Poland. And I think midterm, I would see this opportunity to be explored before we think of any other international moves. Also, if you think of our focus of growth in residential market, market to market, there are very significant differences when it comes to regulatory competitive frame, brand. You know, we've done, as John was sharing, a great job on brand building, but obviously this is an enormous investment. We are seeing those results after 3 years now. So again, our focus remains to be Poland.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Anna Bosong from UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Anna Bosong here. Well done on the results. Thanks. Just a couple of questions. One is on the wholesale. Can you add a little bit of colour as to why the wholesale revenues jumped? You know, if there was a particular one-off opportunity you went for, or if you perhaps envisage those revenues remaining high. And also, just on the increase in subscribers in broadband you're looking for in the second half of the year, should we look for you know, a reduction in margin or a reduction in ARPU from the increased marketing, or do you think that you'll be able to absorb that into your normal advertising budget, etc.?
Anna, thanks for the questions. On the wholesale side of things, there have been a few good opportunities to make some money on trading, basically on termination or on transit. We do have some spare capacity in the voice network, which means it's pretty cheap to or pretty easy for us to be competitive in offering those services. So I think you can expect to see some more of that during the second half of the year as well. On the other question, as you know, our acquisition costs get expensed as we acquire customers. So one of the reasons why we're not predicting a significant increase in EBITDA at this stage of the year is we're obviously expecting higher acquisition costs in total in the second half, because we've got a lot of acquisitions still to do and a lot of net adds to deliver. On the advertising itself, I wouldn't expect any significant increase. I mean, we're targeting around a 60 million, 65 million spend level on advertising, say, which is consistent year on year.
I would also say that it's the performance of the first half of the year, and in particular second half of the year on the intake of new customers, is quite consistent with what we've seen in past years, i.e. the second quarter was rather slow. This year it was impacted on top by you know, two tragedies which went over Poland, the plane crash which led into really full week of almost no commercial activities across the country, as well as a major flood in almost half of the Poland. But what we've managed to maintain is this strong 25-30% market share of net adds. And as, again, in past years, and we are already seeing it starting into third quarter, second half of the year is stronger in an overall growth of the market. So for us, it's just to continue of grabbing our fair share of those net adds, which not always requires incremental spending. It's just maintaining the level of activity compared to competitors.
That makes sense. Can I also have a follow-up question just on the acquisition cost then? How much per subscriber we should be putting into our model to see, you know, what the impact will be in 2H?
Well, it should continue in this range of low 200s and high 100s that we've been seeing quarter to quarter. There's no particular plan to dramatically increase SAC. I actually should have mentioned, and you'll find information in the press release, the reason for the tick up in SAC in Q2 of this year reflects the fact that we're, rather than giving several months for free as the promotion during the second quarter, we were offering a very nice Wi-Fi modem for one zloty or at least a heavily discounted price. And that obviously gets booked as acquisition cost, whereas a discount on service would affect ARPU. That was the reason for the tick up in the cost during Q2.
Oh, that's excellent. And just finally, was it correct what the previous questioner was saying, that LLU customers have a 50% EBITDA margin?
I don't think we've ever said that clearly. I mean, I think our gross margin, when we compare the ARPU to the of a double play customer to the cost of that we have to pay TP every month, is around 75%. So then we also have allocated costs that need to be deducted from that. So maybe your estimate's a reasonable one.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad now. And we have your next question from the line of Bartosz Szymanski from Opera. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, could you please give us more comments on the acquisition currently in terms of the dialogue being in the process of due diligence done by Polkomtel and Exatel already, let's say, post the due diligence by Polkomtel?
Probably those are more questions to current owners of both Exatel and Polkomtel. What I'm trusting in is that there will be a very professional process which is maximizing the value of the assets they have for sale. That we are the probably best equipped, best suited to be a serious beaters in that process, mostly due to level of synergies we can realize, but also readiness with cash and bank facilities backing us up. Hopefully those speculations which you can read in press, which you relate to, will convert into profits. And it seems like on Exatel it may actually happen earlier than on Dialog, but again I'm referring to the same public information as you did just a minute ago.
Right, but may I presume that you are, let's say, optimistic on Netia entering both companies or due diligence processes in those two companies and let's say finalizing acquisitions this year?
We don't have any formal confirmation on any of those two processes to start, so it's probably premature to comment on that question.
Okay, but overall you believe that your acquisition targets, you want to finalize some acquisitions this year, and on the other hand, the dividend will not be paid from the 2010 net profit.
Jonathan mentioned, we are piling up cash and talking to banks to get ready for the acquisitions, and this is our direction. That's what we want to do. So if those targets come along, then we are going to be on top of it. If they don't, then we will come back to the market with consequent statements what we do with the cash. But it's, again, too early to build or communicate plan B, because we are really seeing progress on the plan A, which is those bigger targets being up for sale.
Right, and apart from those two big targets, are there any targets in perspective that you are currently thinking of?
Yes, we are continuously looking at Ethernet networks companies. As I was communicating earlier, we want to be back on track with those acquisitions in range more comparable to 2008 than what we did last year. Due to the slowdown of the economy, we were also refraining ourselves from more aggressive activities on that front, especially in the first half of the year. So yes, we are interested, continuously interested in Ethernet network acquisitions, and we are in active talks with potential targets.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We now have a follow-up question from the line of Anna Bossong from UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Just to follow on from the previous discussion, I wonder, I know what Dialog does and how you would fit the operations there extremely well. Could you perhaps just run through with Exatel what the synergy benefits would be and, you know, how successful this might be, you know, relative to the fact that obviously Tele2 was a very successful acquisition from a synergy viewpoint. Would Exatel perhaps drive more synergies or Telefonia Dialog? Thanks.
I think both companies are pretty similar in terms of where we would find synergies. But the Exatel is a business operator, so what it would do is more or less double our exposure on the corporate and the wholesale market. It would also give us a much extended backbone network, and there'd be a lot of synergies in terms of network cost reduction, and then sales and distribution, and obviously back office costs. So very interesting target as well as Dialog.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. A final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press 7 on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question. Thank you. As we have no further questions, I will now turn the call over to Mr. Godlewski for his final comments.
Yes, thank you very much, and thank you all of the participants for all the questions. And as always, we are looking forward to seeing you in person, and if you have any follow-up questions, we'll be happy to answer it in the upcoming days. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
Thank you for attending today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.
Please hold the line for the conference host to join the conference or a customer services representative.